Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jack Watts for Jack Watts Live, broadcasting to you from the 10th floor of the We Believe Tower in majestic Buckhead, overlooking the skyline of Buckhead. It is a magnificent day, unseasonably warm. Everything is beautiful in Atlanta, except for the ragweed, which keeps some of us under tow, no doubt about it. Okay, we have a lot to talk about today and a short amount of time to do it. Tonight is the third and last debate, and it is about foreign policy exclusively. And there are a couple of things that I wanted to say about that right away. Last week, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, the leader of Iran, at the United Nations said, how long can the United States be considered the world's greatest power with the massive debt that we have and that we've incurred? It's a good question. The strength of America around the world and in our foreign policy is that we have been the strongest financial nation since World War II. We have a little bit more than two-thirds of the century where American power has been the greatest, checked by the Soviet Union from the late 40s all the way to the very early 90s, in one sense, so that we had the free world, we had the communist world, and then we had third world countries and fourth world countries, and fourth world countries being those that had no potential for industrialization, for really getting out of the hole that they were in. And those would be some Asian countries, certainly a few in South America, and most of Africa. Third world countries being, you know, Brazil, as an example, which is emerging as a pretty strong power now. Okay. There are very few who spend much time talking about the financial problems as we go forward, because they're, you know, it's kind of taken a back seat now. Let me bring on my brother. Hold on a second. Dick, are you there?
I sure am.
Okay, good for you. My energy guest couldn't make it. He let me know at 5:19.
So that was nice.
We're scrambling here just a little bit, but there's something that I want to talk about. We're talking about the debt, and as you know, every week I pull up the debt clock, and we were counting down until it was 16 trillion, which was quite a benchmark. It's now 16.2 trillion. That's how fast this debt is accumulating. That's 200. It's actually $196 billion since a month ago when I said, well, we finally hit the 16 trillion. That's a pretty substantial amount of debt. But you know what? That's our current debt. We've got a problem that's much greater than this 16.2 trillion and the 23 million of actually unemployed. They say that this election is about jobs and unemployment. Well, you know, the actual unemployed in America right now are 22,693,000. That's 23 million people. And that's what it's been how the you know the unemployment rate has dropped so substantially when the actual unemployed hasn't moved at all is kind of interesting. But you know that's a political thing. All right. Now,
you mean because it's happening just a few weeks before the election, you mean?
Yes, that would be exactly what
deep
I was
political
saying.
Political reason. Yeah, okay. All right.
In this $16.2 trillion, the average taxpayer owes, every taxpayer, $141,000. That's, as a taxpayer, your part, my part, everybody that pays taxes owes that much. Now, that's for the current debt. For the unfunded liabilities that we have, in other words, those are the things that have been passed into law where we have a commitment to people who are entitled, in our entitlement society. What is your guess is the total of our unfunded liabilities? Currently we owe $16.2 trillion in current debt. In unfunded liabilities, what do you think it is?
I'll shoot for $25 trillion.
That's a good shot. You missed it by quite a bit. It's $121 trillion.
Mm-hmm.
The liability per taxpayer for that, for everybody that pays taxes, is $1,057,000. You have a kid. He's starting out in life in debt $1 million. Why? Because we have this entitlement society. Now, in this whole foreign policy area, I'm going to just say something. I think Ahmadinejad is right. I think he's got a good point. Here he is, a guy that can't admit that we've had a Holocaust, and yet he has put his finger on the biggest problem that we have in this country, and our great system is going to have a hard time coping with this. Every single taxpayer is committed to spending $1,057,000 in funds to take care of people who, a lot of them aren't working now. You know, some of it I'm sure will go for Social Security and things of that nature, and that's because they've robbed Social Security and taken money out of it that, you know, that citizens have been putting in for, you know, for decades, but that's another story. This is a big deal. How can a country survive when they have put that kind of debt onto our future generation? $1,057,276 per.
Let me ask you a question, Jack. And of 100%, what do you think the percentage is of people that have any idea of what you just mentioned?
99.
You think 99% of the people know about the extent
of
this debt? Oh,
don't know.
Oh, there you go. I was going to say when they interviewed some of those people in New York.
Oh, you mean the ones that
the thought that Paul Ryan would be a good running mate for Barack Obama,
or the ones that got on there.
My favorite were the ones that talked about how Obama had won the debate, or how Romney had won the debate, and they'd watched the whole thing, and it wasn't even taking place until the next day. I think it was Jimmy Kimmel that did that one.
I thought it was the one that when they asked him if they thought that he would be able to get bin Laden in this coming year, and they said, yeah, they all thought he would probably be able to kill him. So, yeah.
The one legitimate accomplishment of Barack Hussein Obama, and it is a legitimate one. We'll give him that. Fine job, sir. You did a good job on that one. There isn't much else that I'm going to give him here today, but I definitely give him that one. Now, all of this has to do with our security, and we're talking tonight about national security. If every taxpayer owes $1 million, then we cannot afford to spend money abroad helping other people when we can't take care of ourselves.
Yeah.
Now, they've just broken this news story here today that Joe Biden's brother is part of a group that has got a government contract to build 100,000 homes in Iraq. And he's going to make a fortune doing it. And of course, the big cry is this is cronyism, and that it's unethical for the vice president's brother to make money like that. It's just patently wrong. But that's all that people are talking about. My question is, why are we building 100,000 homes in Iraq when Iraq's an oil-rich country?
Are they going to pay for them, or we're paying for the 100,000 homes?
We're paying for it. That's the whole thing. It's just coming out of the U.S. taxpayers' pocket. That's
absolutely ridiculous.
I couldn't agree more. That's absolutely ridiculous.
God.
That here we are. Not just that Joe Biden's brother's going to make a windfall, which is inappropriate, and it is inappropriate, but we're doing the whole thing in the first place.
Yeah.
Why is that our responsibility? Is it part of the apology that, we're sorry, we took out Saddam Hussein, who, liked to put nerve gas on you people, but at the same time, we bombed a lot of houses, so we're gonna rebuild them, even though you've got, we've given you your country and you've got oil.
Yeah.
Now it seems to me that what we need to do, and here's what I would do, and here's what I would say, if I were Mitt Romney, I'd say every taxpayer owes $1 million. With that kind of burden, and you have it, so that means if you're working and your wife's working and you've got two kids that are going to go to school and go to college, that between the four of you, you owe $4 million. Now, what I'd like to do in the next 8 years is cut that in half or more, and the way I propose to do it is to drill, 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 use coal, use shale, make ourselves energy independent, keep that here, take the tax incentives where the Chinese are raping us so that we aren't able to compete, and change that. Say, we're going to play on a level playing field, and if you don't like it, that's it. When there is a baseball game or a football game
where there's a bad call and the team loses because of the bad call, it infuriates Americans. If they knew how badly we are getting ripped off by the Chinese, they wouldn't have it. As you know, I live in Atlanta, and a bad call cost the Braves going further into the playoffs. We'd be where the Cardinals are right now, tied, ready to go, you know, perhaps to the World Series because of a bad call. That leaves a bitter taste in people's mouths. People don't like that. I don't blame them. Do you?
No. Who would?
All right. So here we are. Ahmadinejad has made a good point. We are spending money we don't have. We aren't balancing our budget. We're going further in debt. Our debt expanded out to what we are committed to pay equals more than $1 million per person. By the way, if I were Mitt Romney and I got the Senate as well as House of Representatives, I'd start changing some of these laws that entitle people to things that they don't earn or deserve and just say, you know what? We aren't operating by what's fair anymore. We're operating by what we can afford. This
so
whole thing about
should,
the big bird was, you know,
actually be cooking
I love
him,
the guy's
huh?
answer. Said, you know what? I love Big Bird, but we're not going to have problems where we have to borrow from the Chinese to keep it going.
Right.
Is it worth borrowing money from the Chinese, you know, to keep something going? Boy, the answer to, you know, if you use that as your criteria, which is a smart one, there are going to be a lot of things that you're not going to pursue that you once did. Okay. Now that we've said that and what's going on, let's take a look at the electoral map, and as I'm doing it, let me ask you, in Massachusetts, what's happening with Scott Brown and the Indian woman, Pocahontas?
The Indian giver, you mean?
Yeah, the Indian giver.
I'd say there's a 46 Scott Brown, 42 Elizabeth Warren. And I can't for the life of me understand why anybody would vote for Elizabeth Warren. She has done nothing but fib to us about her background and how she is for the common man. And she's made millions off of these big companies trying to deflect money going to these little people when it comes to asbestos and other things. So I just don't understand
it. Well, you know, I was up in Massachusetts, as you know, a week ago, and was with my sister and her husband, both of whom voted for Barack Obama in 2008, and neither of which is going to vote for him this time. When I asked who they were going to vote for Senate, they both said, well, Elizabeth Warren, that, you know, and I said, why in the world would you do that? And, you know, they just didn't have any real reason. But when I said to them, I said, okay, if you want Mitt Romney and he's going to, you know, and he'd get in there, the thing that he is going to need more than any other single thing is for Harry Reid not to be the majority leader in the Senate. It needs to be Mitch McConnell, who will go along with what President Romney will want. And Elizabeth Warren will keep Harry Reid in there, and to vote for Elizabeth Warren when you were going to vote for Mitt Romney,
it seems like it is a conflict of interest. Now, when I told them that, they said, oh, nobody ever explained it to us that way. We'll vote for Scott Brown. And I think to myself, how many people in America don't recognize this? Let me give you another example. In 2010 in West Virginia, there was a fairly hotly contested Senate race, and the Democrat finally won. And he's a very conservative Democrat, for a Democrat. But in the initial caucus, he votes for Harry Reid, so that everything Harry Reid wants in the Senate, Harry Reid gets. And yet, West Virginia has been decimated because the whole coal industry has been wiped out. Why? Because it isn't what Barack Hussein Obama wants. He wants Solyndra and wind energy and solar. And you know, okay, I like those things if we can figure it out, but we got to survive first. These people in West Virginia, had they voted for the Republican instead of the Democrat, we'd be that much closer to getting rid of Harry Reid, which is an absolute necessity in order for this country to go forward. Okay, let's go to the electoral map now. You remember...
While you're looking, why don't you give the phone number in case somebody wants to call in?
Good idea. I forget to do that all the time, and we end up just talking to ourselves. If you want to call in, the number is 347-326-9949. Now, you can go to my Facebook page or to my Twitter account, and you know, it's Jack Watts, and there's always a post where you can listen to the archive messages that we broadcast on Blog Radio, and there are quite a few. And interestingly, more people listen to us in the archives than listen to us live. But, you know, I always thought, is it live or is it Memorex? And I never could figure it out anyway. All right. A month ago, Barack Obama was sitting in the Real Clear Politics average at 257 electoral votes that were either solid or leaning his direction. And now, from the 257, it's down to 201. Romney is at 206, according to the Real Clear Politics national averages. Now, in this, with all of the swing states and that they're talking about, there are 131. As you know, you got to get 270 votes. The Romney is going to carry Florida, Virginia, and Colorado, in addition to what he's got. And by the way, since the last time we talked, they have put Arizona at 11 and North Carolina at 15 into the leaning Romney column, as well as actually Montana. So that's why he's bumped up so high. But when you add the 206 plus Florida at 29, that's 235, then Virginia brings it to 248, Colorado, 257, 13 more electoral votes. That's why they say Ohio is the key to the election. If Obama can thwart Romney in Ohio, it's going to be very hard for Romney to win. But I think New Hampshire is actually going to go for Romney. That's four votes. That would be 261. Now, if Wisconsin went for Romney, which is a potential, slight potential,
that'll do it. Michigan would do it, but that's even a less potential. People are talking about Pennsylvania going for Romney. If you ask me, that seems like, I mean, that just seems so far out there. And yet, you know, they say that Rendell, who was the former governor, said that you have the east part, which is Philadelphia, the west part, that is Pittsburgh, and the whole center is the Confederacy. And, you know, which is kind of a cute little saying and everything, but it, what it means is it's extremely conservative in the center of the state. It's a close one. The only other way that he could do it would be to win Iowa and Nevada both. Now, Nevada, you say, how can the state that has the worst unemployment in the nation and the highest foreclosure rate even be close to not, you know, to supporting Obama? And the answer is that they have a better machine, and their ability to get out the vote is pretty extensive, and the Republicans don't. Now, one other thing. I just got an email from a woman in North Carolina talking about how they just discovered that a 112-year-old woman just voted, and that there is massive voter fraud already occurring in the in North Carolina trying to win it. Here's the deal. Romney cannot win this thing by just winning 51% of the vote. He's going to have to get 53 or 54 to offset the criminality that's coming from the other side. Criminality. Criminal. They don't want people to have to show ID because they want fraud. This is Chicago politics, and it's not good. One other thing that we were discussing today, when we're talking about fraud and Chicago politics, dirty tricks, all of it. Evidently, Donald Trump has some kind, has dug up something that he says is going to potentially throw this election on its ear. Now, we know that he supports Mitt Romney because he made that endorsement in the Republican primary. So this is something that he has discovered and is going to put out on his Twitter feed on Wednesday.
He also, they were talking to him on Fox News this morning, and they are going to be calling him, I think, around 9 o'clock on Wednesday morning, and he said that he would let them know at that time also.
Well, they'll put him on the, of course, my very first thought is he's found a birth certificate, and oh my goodness, Barack Obama was born in Kenya or Indonesia or something like that. Of course, I have no idea, and it, you know, and we certainly can't speculate on that. But I do find it interesting, and of course, Donald Trump is the master of publicity, so he puts it out there today. In an effort to rattle Barack Obama tonight for the, you know, for the debate, which it might, and have it as something for people to talk about for 2 days before he does it. And you know, the guy's pretty good at that. You know, you always have to admire somebody like that. All right, listen, we're just about out of time, and I'm sorry that we didn't get to the energy stuff today, but, you know, here we are getting close to this election, and it's very, very, very important. And I want to say to the people out there, find people who are in the swing states and get them to vote.
And thank you for listening. And God bless you, and God bless the United States of America. Have a great day. Bye-bye.